हरि ओम तत्सत श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। सो काटक श्री कृष्ण यजुर्वेदीये काटक शाखायां काटकोपनिषदि अथवा कठोपनिषदि प्रथमाध्याये तृतीयावल्ली। लेट अस गो स्ट्रेट वे टू the mantra number 12. Yesh sarveshu bhuteshu gudhotmana prakashate drishyate tvagyaya buddhya sukshmaya sukshma darshibhihi. यच्छेद्वाङ्मनसि प्राज्ञस्तद्यच्छेद्ज्ञान आत्मनि ज्ञानमात्मनि महति नियच्छेत् तद्यच्छेच्छान्त आत्मनि। सो वी सॉ इन यस्टर्डेस क्लास हाउ उपनिषद वेरी ब्रीफली वेरी क्विकली डिस्कस्ड प्रेजेंटेड the Shravanam aspect, also Nididhyasanam aspect. In mantras, the Shravanam is indirectly mentioned, actually discussed in the 12th and 11th mantras. The 13th mantra, the Nididhyasanam is actually Nididhyasanam is indirectly mentioned. Mean the method of assimilating the teaching is given here. How one has to resolve cognitively everything into the reality obtaining as one's own self. By resolving everything into the reality obtaining as one's own self, one must be able to see the essential oneness of everything. One must be able to see absolutely the absolute oneness of the reality, the secondlessness of the reality, non-duality of the reality. One must be able to see that. It's not physical. It is absolutely, it is intellectual, it's cognitive. How do you see? Even though the world is so great and so big and so vast, is inexplicably vast, indescribably vast, yes. But so what? The entirety of the cosmos, even the unknown worlds also, we don't need to, oh my God, we don't know what the unknown world, how the unknown worlds are, yes. Doesn't matter. Even the world, unknown worlds are there. So what? Unknown world also is as good as the known world. Because the known world is mithya. Known world is not so huge world. Even the known world, even the so-called this bhuloka, this world itself is not known, the entirety is not known. It's impossible to know the entirety of this bhuloka itself. And the Shastra talks about 14 worlds, 7 above, 7 below. So what? Then unknown also comes under the category of the object only. Why? Unknown can become the known. Unknown world is unknown. Anything unknown, he has no ability that it comes under the category of the known. Unknown also can become the known. Before knowing what is unknown, before knowing becomes the known after knowing. Therefore, the known and the unknown both come under the category of the objects of knowledge only. As an object of knowledge, An object of knowledge never has independent existence of its own. The object of knowledge has the status of being an object, enjoys the status of being existent only when it becomes the known, when it becomes known. To become the known, it is dependent on the very knowledge of that object. Knowledge of that object is possible only when there is knower, and there is no knower other than the reality, abstract, formless reality, which is the content of I, the truth of I, the consciousness. Therefore, there is no real knower, there is no knower other than reality. And without the knower, there cannot be the knowledge. And there's no knowledge without the, there can't be the known without the knowledge. This knower known knowledge, the Triputi Bheda, all are essentially one, the same reality only. That's why the knower is the reality. The knowledge also is reality. The known is also the reality. Implied with the term Atma. Therefore we say the entirety of the world, the entirety of the objective universe can be reduced to one word, Drishyam. Or Gnayam. And the Gnayam is dependent on the sense organs for their existence. Remember, the entire world, all the entire world which can be reduced to fivefold objects, can be reduced to what? The known. The known is dependent on the instruments of knowledge, the sense organs. Even actions are dependent on the instruments of actions. And the results of actions are dependent on the accessories. Anyway, everything is dependent here. So, and this, all 10 Indriyani, organs of actions, instruments of actions, are dependent on the mind for their existence, for them to have the status of being the sense organs, organs. Therefore, they are all resolvable in the mind. Now, mind also, mind, if we take, the mind, if we separate it, the mind has, a lot of thoughts can come, emotions can come, desires can arise, but still, the right, knowledge of right and wrong, you know, the choice is only in the intellect only. Intellect only chooses. The desire can arise. The desire has to be, desire has to be expressed in form of an action for which the decision has to be made. The right action, wrong action. Okay, let me do this. That decision to do this or that is what? Intellect. That is why we say mind is dependent on the intellect. So, mind is resolvable in intellect. So, until now we see only the vyashti, individual, how the world of objects can be, are dependent on the sense organs. All these organs, the 10 powers, are dependent on the mind for to become functional. And the mind itself, a seat of emotions, is dependent on the intellect, the deciding faculty. And then the intellect, we say, we have to think of the samashti, corresponding total intellect, totality of the intellects. Which otherwise said to be Mahat or Mahan Atma. Or Mahat. So, this individual Vyashti Buddhi doesn't have independent existence out of Samashti Buddhi. Samashti Buddhi also, here the mantra we saw, Samashti Buddhi, Buddhi also cannot function by itself as Buddhi. The cognitions are not possible. All cognitions constitute the intellect without manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, Buddhi is dependent on the very Atma of its very existence. Buddhi in the form of all cognitions, all experiences, all perceptions, are nothing but thoughts. And every thought is in every experience or every cognition, the two factors involved, antakarna vrittihi and manifest consciousness. And we say the vritti is in and through pervaded by consciousness. It shines only in the presence of consciousness, light of consciousness. Therefore, there consciousness is not dependent on the vrittis, whereas the vrittis are dependent on consciousness. Consciousness doesn't come and go, vrittis come and go. This, in this, and all these arriving, departing vrittis, there is invariably non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting consciousness. That is why ultimately everything has, buddhi also has been resolved only in Atma, the consciousness, and which is ever of the nature of tranquility. And that pure, absolute reality, abstract reality, formless reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, is the absolute, ultimate, because there's nothing beyond that consciousness. That consciousness is the content of I, consciousness is the ultimate content of you, content of this, content of that. Consciousness is the truth of everything here, subtle and gross, everything here. But we have to arrive at that reality, the truth of that, this, those, these, you, we, everything has been arrived ultimately as the truth of I. Once you arrive at it, you can see there's nothing beyond consciousness, means everything is dependent on this consciousness for its very existence. But consciousness is absolutely independent of everything else for its very existence. That is why it's Badhayam Samanadhikaranyam. I told you many times before in my other classes. Badhayam Samanadhikaranyam means establishing non-duality or secondlessness, oneness of reality, through the negation of the anatma prapancha as mithya. There's no independent existence. There's no, just as opaque thing enjoys existence means only in the presence of light. The whole jagat shines only in the light of manifestation of knowledge. The whole jagat is what? Manifestation of knowledge, Ishvara. Understand? Therefore, and who are you? What are you here? Where can you resolve the I-sense? The whole jagat has been resolved in the world, in the consciousness, including one's body, mind, and complex, where we have to magnanimously, choicelessly resolve this I-sense also only in pure awareness. That we claim consciousness as our own sarupam, aham, Chaitanyam, aham brahma asmi, chaitanyoham. I, the self, am consciousness, atma, brahma. This is not physically, we are not doing anything. It's cognitive resolution. This is, and then when you resolve it, repeatedly see this fact, then what happens? Gradually, 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 I sense in the body, mind, and complex will resolve. That aham brahmasmi, in spite of seeing the duality of, plurality of waves, in spite of experiencing the plurality of the waves, different duality of wave and ocean, still we can appreciate the fact, all that is there is only the water. In the same way, in spite of going through the experience of duality and plurality, in spite of experiencing it, still, cognitively, we can appreciate this fact that all that is there is only the truth. That is, aham idam sarvam. Vision is possible. Repeatedly, one has to see this. And this repeatedly seeing this fact, which we have already understood through Shravanam and Mananam, is said to be Nididhyasana. Understand? Now we have to move on to the next mantra. And here, in the following mantra, the following mantra is presented by the Upanishad with the intention of emphasizing the fact that this Atma Jnanam is definitely dependent on total commitment to the study of the Shastram. And study of the Shastram should not be independent. One must do the Shastra study with the help of the teacher with a total commitment, which means commitment, the pursuit of Jnanam should not be taken for granted. It is not a casual thing. One must be very, very serious about this pursuit of Jnanam. Otherwise, this also will not happen. How many of our talks we go and listen? How many of our books we read? Unless that a person really becomes a spiritual person, with the commitment, it is not possible to have this knowledge. Because what has to be assimilated, what has to be ascertained, what has to be claimed as one's own self is the most abstract. Know how difficult it is? Very strong I sense in the anatma, body, mind sense complex. But this I sense has to be shifted from the grossest body, mind sense complex to the subtlest formless consciousness. It's not that easy. The shifting means completely emotionally becoming free. Letting go of this, all these gross thing forms. And then leaving aside the gross forms, subtle forms, you have to shift your identity from the gross to subtle to the subtlest to formless, form to the formless. Gross, subtle, subtle to the subtlest. That's why this attainment of self-knowledge is really a tapas, a great tapas. It requires seriousness, tremendous commitment. Therefore, here Upanishad says in the following mantra, in spite of experiencing the world of duality, you have to say there's no world of duality. In spite of experiencing the world of duality, you have to say it is not really there. It is as though. What is taken to be real has to be negated as not real. What you see it as real should be negated as not real, mithya. And what you do not know has been claimed, discovered and claimed as the satyam. And you have to see how ahamidam sarvam, there's no world which exists outside of me, the consciousness. That has to happen. That is why Upanishad says here, Uttishtata jagrata prapyavaran nibodhata. Uttishtata jagrata prapyavaran nibodhata. Kshurasya dhara nishita duratyaya. Kshurasya dhara nishita duratyaya. Durgam pathastat kavayo vadanti. Durgam pathastat kavayo vadanti. See, understanding of the nature of the reality happens very quickly. But assimilation, ascertainment does not happen at all. You know, people come and tell, no, very, very easy, you know, what, you know, 1 week camp, we understood everything, oh, very, very clear for us. Okay. Then how much does it help you in being objective? Do you get affected by this? You understand the teaching, but do you enjoy the benefit of the teaching? Do you get easily, you know, disturbed by situations? And that is there. That means ascertainment has not happened. People think, which means continuously one must be focusing on this teaching. Therefore, what one should do for this? Uttishtata jagrata prapyavara nibodhata ஷுரஸ்ய தாரா நிஷிதா துரத்யயா. உபனிஷத் itself states this is not an easy job, this is not an easy thing, it involves it is really a tough thing. How tough it is, we'll see the scene. Durgam pathastat kavayo vadanti. Okay, here, Uttishtata is again imperative plural verb. Uttishtata. Tvam uttishta, you get up. Uttishtata, may you all get up, may you all arise. Uttishtata. Jagrata. Again, jagrata also. May you all be awake. Arise, awake. Varan, then third word. Nibodhata. Come on, arise. Don't be asleep, thinking that you know already everything. First of all, arise, wake up from a sleep of ignorance. Awake. Nibodhata. Make all possible efforts to discover. Nibodhata. May you discover. May you know. Bodhata means may you know. May you all know. May you all arise. May you all be awake and may you all know. But Nibodhata, may you all know thoroughly that me, Nibodhata, without any doubt, clearly, unforgettably, may you know. Nibodhata, may you know. Nibodhata, may you know. May you understand. But how can you understand? How you should understand? You go, let me go and try myself. Let me go and sit somewhere in meditation. Discover. No. Varan prapya. Here, please make a note. The word of varaha. Varaha means choice. Varanam, choosing. Vrunoti is the verb. Vrunoti, chooses. Varanam, choosing. Varaha, choice. Swayam varaha. If a woman is allowed to choose her own husband, organized by her own parents, it is swayam varaha. Swayam varaha. The girl herself chooses. One among the many chosen by her father. Okay? So, it is swayam varaha. It's a function. Varaha. So varaha and vadhu. In a marriage, vadhu means bride. So varaha is bridegroom. Vadhu varau. Vadhu, a maid, girl. Bridegroom, bride. Varaha, bridegroom. Vadhu varau. Is varaha means bridegroom. Varaha means choice. And here, varaha means exalted. Varaha means exalted. So in this context, the meaning of the word varaha is exalted being, great person. Exalted person is varaha, superior person. We say Bhagavan is varaha, the most exalted. Varishtaha. Varishtaha, Variyan, Varaha, we have different words. But here Varaha means all the wise people who are Jnanis are Varaha. Every wise person is also an exalted person, is called a Varaha. Any Jnani, a person who would have gone through the Sampradaya, studied under the help, under the guidance of a Guru, who would have discovered the truth, a sampradaya with guruhu is varaha. Here. a teacher, a preceptor who knows the sampradaya, who would have gone through the teaching from another systematically, from another teacher, who would have attained the wisdom, jnanam, as a jnani. Now, who is eligible to teach also is said to be varaha. So, varan prapya. Prapya means having, prapya it means having gained, having gone, having approached. Having approached, having approached the exalted people of wisdom, exalted people of wisdom who know the sampradaya, may you discover the truth. Arise, awake, may you discover the truth. Why? Because why you should approach the teachers? He says, Duratyaya. Duratyaya. See, kshurasya dhara, nishita duratyaya. Kshurasya, here, kshuraha means razor. Now the razor used for, the razor is kshuraha. And dhara, nishita, kshurasya dhara, nishita dhara. Nishita means sharp. Dhara, the word dhara literally means a fall. Okay, dhara means a fall, a fall. But here dhara means edge. Nishita dhara, sharp edge. Kshurasya nishita dhara. Duratyaya. If you are asked to walk on the sharp edge of the razor, how will it be? Isn't it? So, too subtle. So that's how I would say. Surasya dhara, nishita dhara, duratyaya. It is, duratyaya means very difficult. It is very difficult to tread upon, difficult to tread the sharp edge of the razor. How difficult it is, you can understand in the same way. It is very, very difficult. What? Even this pataha. Pataha is durgam. Pataha is new to gender word. Pataha is a new to gender word. Pataha means the path. The path of what? The path means the life you live, treading the path of self-knowledge. The path, the method you follow, the path of Atmajnanam, this path of the Raja of reality, self-knowledge, is what? Pataha, Atma Jnanasya Pataha, Durgam. Durgam. Durgam also means what? Very difficult to tread. This path of self-knowledge is also very difficult to tread. Like what? Just as the sharp, it's very difficult to tread upon the sharp edge of a razor. So yatha khrusya dhara nishita dhara duratyaya tatha atmajnanasya pataha durgam. So dhara duratyaya pataha duratyayam or durgam. So Upanishad says, this is the experience. This is what all the people, all the men of wisdom say. Kavayaha tatvadanti. Tatvadanti means what? Kavayaha. All the wise people. Kavihi kavi kavayaha. So kavayaha, all the wise people who would have worked to attain this jnanam. After attaining jnanam, they know how difficult this path would have been. For them, they know. They say, kavayaha tat pataha durgam vadanti. Men of wisdom, kavayaha, men of wisdom, the great seers who would have gone through the path of self-knowledge, attained that knowledge, and they say with their own experience that that path of self-knowledge is very difficult to tread upon. This is the literal meaning of the mantra. So, see, Shankara always says, the entire world can be reduced to what? Nama, Rupa, Karma. Name, form and function. There's no fourth thing in the world. The entire objective universe, the entire Anatma Prapancha, including one's Ahankara. Manaha, Buddhihi, Chittam, Ahankaraha. The subtle material products. Ahankara, the knowledge of self-existence. Ahankara, chitta, memory, intellect, the cognitions, knowledge, even emotions, the mind. What are all these things? They're all anatma, objects of knowledge. The pranas, the indriyani, karmendriyani, jnanendriyani, physical body, gross physical body. And everything and anything and everything which are external to the physical body. All the objects of perception, perceptible, knowable through five sense organs. So the entire world of objects. So when you say entire objective universe, we have to generously, magnanimously include our own body, mind, sense, complex. Atma, if you remove the whole, all the things here can be reduced to two factors. One is Atma. All pervasive, abstract, subtlest reality, obtaining of consciousness is implied with the term Atma. Other than consciousness implied with the term Atma, the entirety of the objective universe is anatma, anatma prapancha. This anatma includes what? Includes your physical body. Not only the object, it means not only the objects external to the body is also objective, part of the objective universe. The sense organs, the pranas, organs of actions, physiological functions, the manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankara, everything. The entire body, mind, sense complex is included in his objective universe. Therefore, there are only two factors. Sadhya irundaliye verilai. Atma and anatma. There are only two factors. Consciousness and matter. Anatma can be reduced to one word, matter. Atma is consciousness. There are only two factors. There's no third thing other than atma and anatma here. consciousness and matter. Whether you talk about elements and the elementals, so what? And this Atma is one, only reality, abstract, formless reality. It is of the nature of consciousness, pure consciousness. What about Anatma? What about this the different countless number of forms, Rupani, all forms, every form is associated with a given nama, name. There's no form which is not associated with the given word. For nama, rupa. And the name of a form, name denotes a given form, and the form is associated with the given purpose, karma. Nama, rupam, and karma. All three words are here. The word karma, please make a note. The word karma in this context does not mean action, does not mean the result of action. The word karma has a contextual meaning. Here the word karma means the function or the purpose associated with a given form. A word is associated with a given form, the form associated with a given function or the purpose. Nama rupa karma. No purpose can serve, get served, the form. And the form is, form cannot exist independently. And no word can exist independently without a form. Therefore, the name and purpose, nama and karma are dependent on the form. The form has no independent existence of its own. So here we can say, the nama rupa karma kyam jagat. This anatma prapanchaha can be reduced to three words. What three words? Nama rupa karmakyam jagat. Entire object universe can be reduced to three words. Nama rupa karma. The three words. The form is mithya. Name is mithya. The purpose served by any form also is mithya. No, mithya form cannot serve a real purpose. The purpose served also is mithya. The form is mithya. Name is mithya. Why? The form, name and function has no independent existence of its own. Therefore, mithya, namarupa mithya. And here, mithya means has no independent existence. No effect has independent existence outside of its cause. Ocean has no independent existence outside of the water. Ornament has no independent existence outside of the gold. If you remove the truth which lends existence, if you remove the gold from chain or any ornament, the form will disappear. The name along with the form will disappear. The purpose itself also will not be possible. So name, form and function, the chain is a form, a given form with a given name. Chain is a name due to given form which serves a given purpose. So also bangle is a given form, the given name, not a given form, serving a given purpose. So remove the gold, the form will disappear, name will disappear, function also will not be possible. For nama rupa karma is what? Mithya. The cause that which lends existence to the form, bangle or chain, the name, bangle or chain, and the purpose it serves is what? The purpose of a chain, the purpose of a bangle, that which lends existence to the form, name and function, and the purpose is the gold with reference to an ornament. Similarly here, with reference to this entire world can be, the entire anatma prapancha can be reduced to non-substantial form, name and function. Non-substantial form, name and function. So that which lends existence, the form, name and function, in terms of the entirety of the cosmos, of countless number of objects, innumerable countless number of objects. My God. That pretends existence is the Atma. Therefore, Atma is Satyam, Anatma Prapancha is Mithya. Your Mithya, the chain is gold. When you say the chain is resolved in gold, chain is Mithya. Chain is resolved in gold, thereby what? There is no chain other than the gold, means chain is cognitively resolved. Pravilapanam of the chain takes place. You say bangle is gold, the bangle becomes resolved in the very gold. Because there's no band other than the gold. The Jagat is Brahma or Atma. Anatma is Atma. When you say Anatma Prapancha, the objective universe is a thing, but Brahma becomes resolved in Atma. There's no Anatma Prapancha other than the Atma. Everything which shines is what? The manifestation of the knowledge. Everything which shines is nothing but manifestation of the knowledge. Every entire Jagat is Brahma. Brahman is not Atma. Brahman is not Jagat. Jagat is Brahma. Atma is not Anatma Prapancha. Anatma Prapancha is nothing but Atma. The whole, all the things is only Brahma. When you say it is cognitive, the entire objective universe, including one's body, minds and complex, is resolved in the consciousness Atma, in the Brahma. Then, what happens? All actions are Mithya. All Kriyas are Mithya. All the accessories required for performing actions, Karakani, the doer is Mithya, the object of action is Mithya, subject of action is Mithya, instrument of action is Mithya, the purpose of action is Mithya. And the locus of action is Mithya. My God. All karakas, all accessories associated with actions are also Mithya. Actions are Mithya. And results of actions are also Mithya. Kriya is Mithya. Karakam is Mithya. Phalam is also Mithya. Kriya, action. Every action is Mithya. Access, because the accessories required for the performance of actions or rituals are also Mithya. And results of actions are also Mithya. Okay. And how does it happen? Mithya, everything being Mithya becomes very clear only when a person discovers the absolute reality obtaining as the very truth of the I, the knower. Then there is no knower. There is no I am the knower. I, the knower, am consciousness. Abstract, formless reality, consciousness. And then when a person discovers that one's own reality obtaining as one's own self, in the wake of knowledge of the truth, one can see how the Anatma Prapanchaha is resolvable in the Atma Chaitanyam. So, when you see the mirage water, it's called a Marichudakam. Marichudakam is a mirage water. Mirage water, the deer running in the hot sun in the jungle and sees the dry sand shining in the light of sun like a water, mistakes it for water. And the mirage, when it goes near, and then it discovers there's no water, it means what? That becomes resolved as Mithya. It is not, there's no real water, there's no water. Means, mirage water is not there. It's not there. Really, it is not there. Similarly, when a person discovers mistakes the rope for a snake. And he thinks the rope snake is real. And he suffers the fear of seeing the rope, the snake. But the wake of knowledge of the rope, the fear resolves along with the snake in the very rope itself. The snake is nothing but rope. The snake is appearance of the rope only. And it's a mithya, just not real. Similarly, you know, it looks as though when the Holi festival was celebrated, we think the whole, oh my God, colorful powders, people throw colorful colored water that people throw everywhere in Athena. We celebrate a great trip. Lots of colorful lights and dances and that too. It looks as though, my God, the whole space now has got polluted. The whole space has been polluted with all colorful things that which you throw in the space. The space, we think, the space looks as though the space has become colorful space. That all the colors used for celebrating Holi have polluted the space. We think, really speaking, all the colors, you know, used, the colored waters poured everywhere, do not contaminate, pollute the space at all. Space is untouched by the colors, the powders, color powders, which are sprinkled, and the colored water they sprinkled in the space. The space doesn't get touched by those. Space ever free. Similarly here, it's only mithya. The Atma is ever satyam. Everything is mithya here. Mithya means nothing has independent existence. Everything exists in this Atma only. Therefore, we'll see the Bhasham very clearly later on. But what we say is, we have to see how Atma is absolutely untainted, untouched by anything. Any change which happens on the part of the matter does not affect the consciousness Atma at all. Time comes and goes in awareness. Space comes and goes in awareness. And anything and everything which exists in the realm of time and space comes and goes in awareness. Awareness doesn't come and go. That pure awareness is the only truth of this unchanging awareness, is the truth of the changing world of forms, names and functions. And I am that unchanging, unchangeable awareness, the consciousness. Ahamatma. This very subtle teaching. Very, very subtle. That's why this is very, one has very strong Dehatma Buddhi. Very strong eye-sense in the physical body. Very strong eye-sense in the mind. Very strong eye-sense in the intellect. I know. I understand. I am angry. I am unhappy. I am deserves of this. You know. So very strong identity with the pranas. Strong identity with the body. It's not that easy to shift the identity. How many times we do Shravanam? We don't understand everything in the class. Oh, very clear, very clear, very clear. Yes, yes, I'm very up. The class is so clear. Nothing is difficult for us. We understood so well. Yes, I am. I can very clearly see. I am the knower. There's no knower other than consciousness. The knower is consciousness. So I, the knower, am consciousness. I am consciousness, the Atma. I'm very clear. There's no doubt in the class. When I'm listening, yes, the world doesn't have independent existence of its own. Everything sounds very clear. But still, assimilation doesn't happen that soon. We listen, like listen to anything else. But still the Dehatma Buddhi, that the identity with the body, mind and corpus does not drop that easily. In spite of being endowed with the body, mind and corpus, one must be able to be objective towards one's own body, mind, and complex. That doesn't happen that soon. That's why Shravanam is not enough. Repeatedly, what we understand in the class, the help of the teacher, should be dwelt upon independently without the help of the teacher also. But in order to independently dwell upon the teaching without the help of a teacher, one must have clear right understanding. If a person hasn't understood, how a person has misunderstood, or a person has wrong understanding, if he dwells upon the wrong understanding, it will create chaos. No. That is why make sure before you dwell upon independently, you must be convinced that you have right understanding. For which one must do for length of time Shravanam. Again Shravanam itself becomes Mananam also. Repeated Shravanam will become Mananam also. Then they both you do with the help of the teacher. But without the help, teacher's help, one has to repeatedly see this fact. This is not an easy joke. Mind is easy. Mind will not be, attention of the mind will not be available to dwell upon only this. Even the class attention goes here and there. In spite of listening to the teacher. So many things, small things will take us. And our day-to-day life, of course, when they're eating, when they're drinking, when you're sleeping, when you do socializing, you're doing work for earning, you must remember, all this I'm doing only for living. My life, I'm living ultimately for jnanam. My living is for the attainment of this jnanam, and my living is for preparing my mind for the attainment of jnanam. My living itself is ultimately for this knowledge. That is my ultimate goal. My focus is all, I never lose sight of my focus. I never lose sight of my goal in life. I never lose sight of my goal in life. That I am living this life ultimately for this. Yes, but I have to do so many things in life. I have to eat. I have to drink. I have to go to the toilet. I have to do my duties. I have to do my duty as a husband, as a son, as a father, as a son-in-law, as a mother, as a wife, as a husband. I have to do my duties. Everyone has to want, I'm doing all these duties. I'm working hard to earn my money, to earn my living. Ultimately for what? For discovering this. I do everything that I need to do. My time is completely consumed by all they need to do for living this life. But I should not lose sight of the fact that I'm living this life ultimately for discovering this truth. Everything I'm doing for living this life. My living this life ultimately for discovering this truth. This one should not forget. One should not forget. Not forgetting this is what? Being awake. Okay, being awake, not falling asleep. I never lose sight of my goal. Okay, one should not lose sight of one's goal. One should remember, what am I doing all these things for? For living this life. What am I living this life for? For discovering the truth. What am I discovering the truth for? For celebrating my own glory of being free, ever free. Therefore, glory of having everlasting freedom. Anyway, so, because unless the commitment is there, it is not that easy. But mind is easily, mind gets completely, totally lost in petty things. So many things in the world take our attention. That is why Upanishad says, come on, Uttishtata, Jagrata. Come on, arise, awake, varan prapya nibodhata. May you have clear, ascertained understanding of the truth of yourself. How? Having approached the exalted teachers, be with them, total commitment, and discover it. How can you miss it? You can discover it. But it requires tremendous amount of commitment, because tat pataha Kavayaha Durgam Vadanti. It's not easy. You have to discover this, no? You have to say everything is mithya. Namarupa karma or mithya. Kriya karaka kalam palani are mithya. Yeah, you have to discover this. I am the Satyam. It did not easy joke shifting the identity from gross, subtle material forms to formless consciousness. Therefore, he says, Tat Pataha Durgam Iti Kavayaha Vadanti. All wise people who have become wise, who had become wise, going through the path of self-knowledge, say, this is very difficult path. Difficult path means it's very difficult to tread upon this path of self-knowledge. Like, it's very difficult to tread upon the sharp edge of a razor. Is it clear? Anyway, we'll be doing again when we do the Bhashyam. We'll see more elaborately this. This much is enough for this class. Everybody is clear for you now? Okay. Now, the following mantra, 15th mantra, Upanishad, now straight away, presents the swarupam of the reality. Yes, in what form does reality obtain? Oh, reality is formless. How can it have any form? No. Reality, the formless reality obtains in what form? Means we have to please, I'm repeating the sentence. I never get tired of repeating this because this is a fact. Reality has to be arrived at, understood only in terms of its nature. Swarupeneiva vastu avagantavyam. Vastu swarupeneiva avagantavyam. See, when you say what is fire, at least fire is something gross. You can show this is fire. But you imagine that which is hot, that which is bright, you know, is fire. But here reality is formless. It cannot be perceived. It cannot be conceived. It cannot be described. It has to be arrived only in terms of its nature, swarupa, unchanging nature. Therefore, here Upanishad presents the nature of the absolute reality and which one has to arrive at as what? As one's own swarupam, one's own essential nature. The reality has to be arrived at as one's own self, one's own essential nature. Because only in one's own mind is all pervasive, everlasting, timeless, spatial limitless reality is available for recognition in only in one's own mind as the very truth of I. And Atma Swarupam is discussed in this 15th mantra. And this specific mantra, we also came across another Upanishad. And this is very, very popular mantra, often quoted by all the Upanyasakas. Whoever gives any talk on Upanishad, definitely will quote this mantra. It's a very famous mantra. Okay. Ashabdamasparshamarupam avyayam. Ashabdamasparshamarupam avyayam. Tatharasam nityamagandha vachayate. Tatharasam nityamagandha vachayate. అనాద్యనంతం అనాద్యనంతం మహతః పరం ధ్రువం అనాద్యనంతం మహతః పరం ధ్రువం నిచాయతన్ మృత్యుముఖాత్ ప్రముచ్యతే నిచాయతన్ మృత్యుముఖాత్ ప్రముచ్యతే అశబ్దమస్పర్శమరూపమవ్యయం తథారసం నిత్యమగంధవచ్చయత్ అనాద్యనంతం మహతః పరం ధ్రువం నిచాయతన్ మృత్యుముఖాత్ ప్రముచ్యతే అశబ్దమస్పర్శమరూపమవ్యయం తథారసం నిత్యమగంధవచ్చయత్ అనాద్యనంతం మహతః పరం ధ్రువం నిచాయతన్ మృత్యుముఖాత్ ప్రముచ్యతే. ఓకే, అశబ్దం, అస్పర్శం, అరూపం, అవ్యయం, ఆల్ నైన్ తత్పురుష సమాస పద వర్డ్స్, కాంపౌండ్ వర్డ్స్, నైన్ తత్పురుష సమాస వర్డ్స్. అశబ్దం, అస్పర్శం, అరూపం, అవ్యయం, తథా అరసం, తథా అరసం, నిత్యం, అగంధవత్, అగంధవత్, అగంధవత్ చ యత్, అనాది, అనాది, ఎండ్ సంధిద, అనాది, అనంతం, అనాది, అనంతం, మహతః పరం ధ్రువం. ఆల్ దీస్ వర్డ్స్, ఓకే, అశబ్దం, అస్పర్శం, అరూపం, అవ్యయం, అరసం, నిత్యం, అగంధవత్, అనాది, అనంతం, మహతః పరం ధ్రువం. 11 వర్డ్స్ రివీల్ ది ఆత్మా బై నెగేటింగ్ వాట్ ఆత్మా ఈస్ నాట్. రివీల్ ది నేచర్, ది నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆత్మా. ఆల్ దీస్ వర్డ్స్ రివీల్ ది నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆత్మా బై నెగేటింగ్ వాట్ ఆత్మా ఈస్ నాట్. So anything which has a sound is not Atma. Atma is not anything which has a sound. So Atma is not sound. Okay, what then? Ashabdam. Na shabda. Na shabdam yasya. Tat ashabdam. So tat. That reality, tad is new to gender word, that reality, absolute reality, implied by the term Brahma, the reality of the whole cosmos, implied by the term Brahma, that, tad, is what? Ashabdam, that, yasya shabdaha nasti, tad ashabdam, soundless. Asparsham, Atma is not a sound. So sound is not the Atma. Atma is not a sound. Why? Sound is available for objectification through sense, the hearing power. But Atma is not a, Atma is soundless. Atma has no sound. There cannot be sound without the Atma. Understand? There cannot be an object called sound without the presence of Atma, the blessing of Atma. The object called sound exists because of the blessing of the Atma obtaining as the knower of the sound. But sound doesn't have existence outside of the Atma. But Atma is not a sound. Atma is soundless. Asparsham. Sparshaha means touch. So Atma is not something which can be touched. Anything which can be touched, which is available for touch, which is touchable, is not Atma. Anything touchable is not Atma. But anything can be touched. The touch of anything is possible only because of the blessing of Atma. The object called touch exists because of the blessing of Atma. But Atma is not touchable. Atma cannot be touched. Atma is an object of touch. Asparsham. Atma is not available for touch. Untouchable. Not touchable. Okay. Arupam. My God. So, Atma is not any object obtaining in any form. Sound form, firm forms, touch form, subtle form, gross form, smell form, no form. Atma is attributeless. Atma has no attribute. Atma has no form. Arupam, formless. But all forms, objects obtaining in all forms, subtle or gross, small or big, all forms, form form, sound form, touch form, smell form, taste form, all forms of all objects enjoy their object existence because of the Atma. All forms enjoy existence in the formless Atma. But Atma is absolutely formless. So colorless. Atma has no color. Atma has no form. Atma is formless. Atma is colorless. All colors, multi-colors. Multicolors shine in the presence of, because of the Atma. But Atma is absolutely colorless, formless. Arasam. Rasaha means taste. So Shabdaha, Sparshaha, Rupam. Now we move to Rasaha. Rasaha is taste. Okay, we have Shad Ruchayaha, the six tastes, main tastes. And all different tastes, sour, bitter, sweetness, bitterness, sweetness, sourness. All six different tastes enjoy their existence because of the blessing of Atma. We talk about the taste. How does the food taste? Saltiness. No, sourness. The taste of food. My God. Varieties of tastes. We talk about the sweet tastes. But all the tastes enjoy their existence because of the blessing of Atma. But Atma by itself is what? Is not available for. Atma has no taste. Atma is tasteless. Atma is an object is available for tasting. Atma has no taste. Tasteless. Arasam. Similarly, agandhavat. See, gandha means smell. Gandhavat is that which has smell. Gandhavat means that which has a smell is Gandhavat. Now Gandhavati Prithivi. Gandhavati Prithivi. Gandhavat Pushpam. a fragrant flower, Gandhavat Pushpam. Now, Gandhavan Churnaha, what is Asafoetida? Gandhavan Churnaha, Gandhavat Pushpam, Gandhavati Prithivi. Now, all different smells, different flavors, different smells, different fragrances, they all enjoy existence because the blessing of the Atma. But Atma by itself doesn't have fragrance, smell of its own. Let me smell Atma. You know, as a dog, airport dog, I tell you, Bhagavan, you know, amazing knowledge. What human beings cannot do, it is able to do. Dog is able to. That's why they use dogs. They come, they can smell. You know, if you have something, they can smell and they check you, they can help you. You take, vibhuti, your small, any basma packet you have, or an apple you have, it smells. And it comes on the lips. They take. That's that. The smelling, all smell, smelling is possible. The smells enjoy the flavors, enjoy the existence because of the blessing of Atma. But Atma does not smell. Atma is not a smell. Okay. Atma cannot be known through the smell. Atma does not have any smell. Okay. Atma has no smell. Atma has no fragrance. Atma has no flavor. Agandhavate, here the reality, Brahma, without any smell, anadi, everything in this universe has beginning, everything is what, sadi, adihi means beginning, everything has adi, everything has beginning, time has beginning, time has beginning, we have timeless time, that's not true, time has beginning. Space has beginning. Everything is time bound, including time. Time is time bound, space is time bound, everything else in the world is time bound. It's everything has a beginning. And so also everything has an end also. So everything is sadhi, santam. Everything in this world has a beginning, and everything in the world has an end also. In between beginning and end also, everything goes through changes. Whereas Atma has no beginning. This abstract, formless reality, consciousness has no beginning. No time limitation. Time comes and goes in consciousness, awareness. Space comes and goes in awareness. But consciousness is always, consciousness is everywhere. Therefore, it's beginningless, anadi. It is endless also, anantam. Adihi yasya nasti, tad anadi. Antaha yasya nasti, tad anantam. Beginningless, endless. And everything is a beginning and end, comes and goes in Atma. Anadi anantam. Not only is beginning is endless, avyayam, everything is subject to change. So everything undergoes changes, everything decays. But Atma is subject to change. Avyayam means changes. See, everything has beginning, everything has end, everything subject to change also. Whereas this reality, implied that the Atma Brahman is beginningless, endless and changeless. Anadi anantam avyayam. Therefore what? Nityam. Nityam means what? Timeless, eternal, beginningless, endless, changeless, therefore eternal. Eternal means what? It is not subject to death. Death is a big change. There's no death for the Atma. Death is something, a change which happens. Thereby, the form undergoes a change. The body undergoes a change. Life of the Sukshma continues in another body. The change happens. Like we change our clothes, Sukshma Ajiva changes the clothes and lives in different, wears a different cloth. But Atma is what? There's no death. There's no change. There's no death. Atma is timeless, absolutely eternal. And Dhruvam. Dhruvam means permanent. Firm. Atma, already I said Atma does not decay or change. Similarly, Dhruvam also means what? Is ever firm. Ever firm. And that reality, which is not, which absolutely attributeless, which has no smell, no touch, no form, no sound, no taste, no smell, no beginning, no end, no change, no decay, everlasting, timeless, eternal, and firm. That Atma is what? Mahataha Param. It is distinct from the intellect. Mahat means what? Cosmic intellect, the total intellects. Distinct from the intellect. It is not distant from the intellect, but distinct from the intellect. It is beyond the intellect. The cosmic intellect, Mahat. We'll use the Mahat itself. Therefore, what now? If a person discovers that reality, if a person discovers that abstract reality, subtlest reality, why I say abstract and subtlest? It is, doesn't have a subtle form or a gross form. So it is subtlest, means formless, abstract. Why? Because ashabdam, asparsham, arupam, arasam, agandhavat, avyayam, nityam, anadi, anantam, mahataha param, dhruvam. This is how the absolute reality of the entire cosmos, the one and the only reality of the entirety of the objective universe, the one and the only reality which lends existence to the entirety of the cosmos, including time and space, the only reality of time and space, only reality of the entity of the forms, names and functions which constitute the entire universe, that reality implied by the term Brahma, which is timeless, limitless, spatial limitless, objectivist limitless, the only truth of everything, that reality, Nichaya, Nichaya. See, Nichaya means what? Nischayena Jnatva. Means Nichaya means having clearly distinguished, having clearly understood, discovered that Atma. Nichaya. Having this clearly discovered that reality, Brahma, obtaining as one's own self, Pramuchyate, a person becomes liberated. A person becomes free from the bondage of samsara. Pramuchyate. Muchyate means becomes liberated. Pramuchyate, prakarshena muchyate. A person becomes liberated for good. A person becomes liberated for good means a person will attain Videha Muktihi. Muchyate means he is liberated. Pramuchyate, he is liberated for good means he will not assume a body again and he will not be born again into this world. Understand? Pramuchyate. Okay? Which means he becomes liberated from what? Liberated from samsara. Liberated from sorrow. He becomes liberated from emotional dependence. So he says, Mrityu Mukhat. He becomes liberated from the jaws of death. He becomes liberated from the mouth of death. Okay? He becomes liberated from time. Mrityu Mukhat. See, the time factor is personified. As the devourer of everything, the time factor is now one side of the bad side of the time is what? He's a devourer. So then he's personified in the Puranas. Lord Yama is sitting with a big mouth. Time comes, he puts like, he takes like how we all pick up mushroom and put it in the mouth. I'm not mushroom. Don't eat mushrooms, okay? It's too thermistic food. I'm just saying. Suppose I'm just saying. Like, now imagine some, you take one leaf from your salad and put it in your mouth. Lord Yama comes and takes every one of us like a small leaf, okay? Put it, like a pickle, okay? He puts it in your mouth. We mean what? Death is definite. So, whereas, continuously, what Bhagavan says, the mantra opponent says, Mrityu Mukhat Pramuchyate, oh, he escapes from getting into the mouth of Lord Yama. But what does it mean? He becomes free from mortality. He becomes liberated from the mortality. You attain Jivan Muktihi, you attain Videha Muktihi. He will not be born again. Therefore, he need not die again. Death is different for only those who are born. Who is not born from death also is not there. A person can, if you escape from being born again, then there will no death also for you. Which means Atma is absolutely eternal, immortal. Isn't it? So a person becomes liberated from the jaws of death. Lord Mrityu Mukhat Pramuchyate. So samsara nivrityartham, to attain immortality, to free oneself from this problem of being subject to death again and again and again and again, to escape from this problem of being subject to death, all that you need to do is what? Discover the truth obtaining as your own self. And that truth is not like any of the objects, endowed with any of these attributes, absolutely attributeless. Asparsham, arupam, asar, arasam, agandhavat, anantam, anadi. It's a very beautiful mantra. I mean, often quoted mantra. How reality is. Reality is that in whose presence, because of whose presence, presence of the reality itself is a blessing, because of the presence of which, blessing of which, every form shines, every attribute shines, every attribute enjoys existence. Something called form, sound, touch, taste, form, smell, beginning of things, ending of things, change of things, everything happens in the presence of reality, in the very reality itself. But reality itself is free from all these attributes. The reality is not an object, not available for objectification. Reality is neither the subject nor the object. And it is free from, it's a truth of everything. Truth of subject, truth of the object, truth of everything. Understand? The truth of the sound, truth of the sound is distinct from the sound. Truth of smell, truth of that which lends existence to every attribute, every object, every experience. is free from everything. Okay. Ashabdamasparshamarupam avyayam tatharasam nityamagandhavachayate anadyanantam mahatavparandhruvam nichayatan mrityumukhapramuchyate tat nichaya mrityumukhapramuchyate. A person becomes liberated from the jaws of death, from the mouth of Lord Yama, having discovered that truth, which is revealed by these words. Now, the 16th mantra. We are going to go ahead. 16th mantra. I will wait to see the, do the bhashyam for this. Now, in 16th mantra, Upanishad itself presents the glorification of this knowledge. Why? Only if it is glorified, we'll all be interested. Something, Upanishad glorifies me, something great. See, always understand, glorification of anything is to add, okay, to make it. We have to follow the teaching. Give importance for this knowledge. Then you must know how glorious it is. What is the glory of the knowledge? How glorious it is? We must know. So that we will have interest. We'll sustain our interest. So, Vijnana Stutyartham, Upanishad says, so here, Nachiketa asked the question, let us not forget here, okay? The whole teaching has been given by Lord Yama to Nachiketas. Nachiketas is sitting here as a student. Lord Yama has been talking to him. He has not yet gone into the main teaching, okay? All preparation, preparation, preparation. Okay. Now, who is this Nachiketas? Not an ordinary student. Young boy of 9 years old, but highly mature, highly evolved, that is endowed with all qualifications. He was endowed with all qualifications required for this knowledge. That he was desperate for this knowledge. He asked, he refused Lord Yama, he offered everything. And such a great student is on earth. See, very rare to find a student like Nachiketas. Lord Yama was very, very, very happy. Oh, look at this great student. And such a student has a great teacher like Lord Yama. Therefore, and here, this the whole teaching happened of dialogue between Lord Yama and Nachiketas. Therefore, this portion is said to be Nachiketam Upakhyanam. Nachiketam Upakhyanam. And what is the benefit of this knowledge? If a person makes all possible efforts, one must have purushartha nischeha, one become committed to the pursuit of moksha, one must know moksha is a choiceless goal, and one must know the value of jnanam. When a person becomes committed to the pursuit of jnanam, he should pay attention, all his attention, to take care of his mind, protect his mind. Mind should become prepared. Mind should be intellectual. Mind must be what? One must be sharp. One must be focused. Distraction-free attention one must have. One must, for which mind must be pure, free from all emotions, emotional entanglements. And for which a person must strictly live a life of dharma. One must follow values. so that one will have Viveka, Vairagyam, Mukshattam, and one can have Shamaha, Damaha, everything. So that with the commitment, the focus, attention of a person is in a given with the study of the Shastram, person attains Jnanam. My God, it's worth attending Jnanam, because that knowledge will liberate this person from bondage of samsara for good. That is the great teaching. It will liberate a person from the all worldly afflictions for good. Therefore, and this teaching is great, the teacher is great, the student is also great, the knowledge is great, the benefit is great. Okay, so it is said here, Nachiketam upakhyanam mrityuproktam sanatanam uktva shutva cha medhavi brahmaloke mahiyate. Nachiketam upakhyanam mrityuproktam sanatanam uktva shutva cha medhavi brahmaloke mahiyate. This brahmaloke mahiyate. Brahmaloke mahiyate. See, mahiyate means what? A person becomes celebrated. A person becomes a celebrity. Celebrated. A person enjoys bigness, enjoys greatness. A person becomes glorified. Mahiyate enjoys greatness, enjoys exaltedness, enjoys enjoys importance. Means a person becomes highly glorified. Where? Brahmaloke. Brahmaloka means what? It is not literally a Brahmaloka. We should not take it as literally. Explain later on what Brahmaloka means. The person becomes highly glorified in the Brahmaloka. Literal meaning. There's no place called Brahmaloka. Let us make it very clear later on. And who is glorified here? Medhavi. Medhavi. One who has Medha is Medhavi. Yasya Medha asti saha Medhavin. Nakaranta pullinga shabdaha. And Medhavi is a nominative case form. A Medhavi. Who is Medhavi? A person who has Grahana Dharana Shakti. A person who has the capacity to understand and retain is Medhavi. Thereby, the person who understands that Shastra teaching and who retains the teaching in his mind, possesses the teaching, is Medhavi, a wise person. A wise person. The person who has Atma Anatma Viveka, a person who has discriminative understanding of what is Satyam and what is Mithya, what is Atma, what is Anatma, and Satyam Mithya Viveka, the person of Satyam Mithya discriminative understanding is Medhavi, wise person, becomes glorified. Okay? When Shutvacha Uktvacha. Shutva, having heard. Having heard what? Having heard this Upakhyanam. Upakhyanam. See, Khyanam. Upa. Ah. Khyanam. Khyanam means praising. Akhyanam means saying, narrating. Akhyanam, Vyakhyanam, explaining. Vyakhyanam, explaining. Khyanam, praising. Vyakhyanam, explaining. Akhyanam, narrating. Upa Akhyanam, Upa plus A plus Khyanam. Two prefixes. Upa Akhyanam, Upa Akhyanam, Upa Akhyanam. Upakhyanam here means the teaching. Upakhyanam. The teaching given. Upakhyanam. And which teaching? The Shastram. See, Veda Shastram is timeless. And the fact revealed by Veda Shastram is also timeless fact. Shastram is timeless. The Shastra teaching is timeless. And perennially eternal. Shastram is perennially eternal. And the Shastra, the fact revealed by the Shastra is also eternal fact. Therefore, the teaching is also what? The teaching never gets broken. The lineage of the teaching also is continuously there, eternally there. How is it preserved by the lineage of Guru Parampara, the teachers, lineage of teachers? The teaching which has been preserved, protected eternally through the lineage of teachers. The Sanatanam Upakhyanam. Sanatanam Upakhyanam. The eternal, timeless teaching. Timeless teaching. Having heard this timeless teaching, Sanatanam Upakhyanam Shutva Uktvacha. And also, repeatedly dwelling upon it, Uktvacha. And also, saying it, Uktvacha, having repeated it. The teaching, which was specially imparted by Lord Yama, Mrityu Proktam teaching. Not ordinary teacher, specifically taught by, imparted by Lord Yama, specially for a special student, okay, Nachiketam, the teaching imparted specially for Nachiketas, specifically by Lord Yama. So, Mrityu Proktam Nachiketam Sanatanam Upakhyanam Sutva Uktva. So, having heard this unique teaching, timeless teaching, specially imparted by Lord Yama, specifically for Nachiketas, that teaching, okay, the person who becomes, this person who has becomes a medhavi, a discriminate understanding of Atma and Anatmahacha person, becomes glorified in Brahmaloka. This is the literal meaning. Okay, please make a note. The word Brahmaloka does not mean he goes to Loka where he is known. Brahmaloka means the wise person discovers one's own self being Brahma. The person discovers everything that is here being Brahma. The person discovers Brahman being one's own self. Thereby the person revels in the vision of that only reality, Brahma, obtaining as one's own self. Thereby, as a wise person, becomes cognitively one with Ishvara. Therefore, he is revered as Ishvara. He becomes revered as Ishvara. It means, this person becomes a worship. Person becomes an altar of worship. The person becomes worthy of worship. That's the meaning. Don't think he goes somewhere, okay? Brahma Loke means in the world of people who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge of Brahman, in the world of people who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge of Brahman, this wise person becomes one who is worthy of worship, one who is high heart after. That's the meaning. This is the literal meaning. Okay. I'm going to stop here. I have to do a little more. And then afterwards, we'll be finishing the first chapter will be over. Then, as I said, we have to go back to the Bhashyam again, which I left it long ago. Understand now? We'll go back and come from the beginning. Now you can see a lot of Tadita words are now coming here. So, it should be easy for you to understand. Actually, I have given the literal explanation I have given. How to really do Buddhi Bhashyam. Then we'll be redoing the whole thing from the Bhashyam, from the beginning again. Because I left it somewhere. I told you, we'll do the Bhashyam again. Okay? One more mantra I have to finish to do it. Let me start it. This teaching involves brief story of Nachiketas also. That is why the teaching imparted to Nachiketas by Lord Yama is said to be Nachiketam Upakhyanam. So having heard this, having repeated this, having also imparted a person who hears, understands, and then he also shares the knowledge with other people. Such a person is a Medhavi. Such a person will become worthy of respect, worthy of worship. And he becomes one with Ishvara. Because he always revels in the vision of one's own self being Brahman. Okay. Om Purnamadav. When you have questions, you can ask me. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.